This is the Lansing Fisher Guiding Historical Team. Today is February 22nd, 2006. It's approximately 9:45 a.m. We're at Gus's Bar. First, we'll introduce the team.
John Fedewa.
Jerry Smith.
Earl Nicholson.
Gary Judy.
And this is Cheryl McQuaid. We're with Gus. Could you please state your name and spell?
Gus Kaliakatsis. G-U-S, apostrophe, C-A-L-I-A-C-A-T-S-O-S.
And what is the name of your business? And I'm sorry, wait a minute. What is your address? Where do you live?
2712 East Green River, Lansing.
And the name of your business and the address here?
It's Gus's Bar. It's 2321 West Michigan Avenue, Lansing.
Gus, could you give us a little bit of your background? Do you live in Lansing?
Of course.
And how long have you lived here?
I moved from 1960, the end of 1962, till today.
And in 1962, where did you come from?
I actually was born in Greece, and then after I go to service there to and get out of the service, I go to Germany, and I worked there for 2 years. And from Germany, I come to Canada, Montreal, Canada. And from Montreal, Canada, come to Lansing, Michigan.
What brought you to Lansing, Michigan?
Actually, I was the black sheep of my family. I wanted to go see places around the world.
So you were just traveling?
Traveling. And at the time I was in Germany, I happened to work into the Canadian embassy inside, and I was working outside and fixed the Canadian embassy. It's a big story, big, big story. How did I get here? I was working for a company who do carpeting work in interior, everything inside. So my company there was be hired from the Canadian embassy to do the whole Canadian embassy. And because I was the foreman, or I don't know how you say it, from the group. From the group there, I was met the councilman. And because we did so much work, I asked my boss if there's any way we can fix him a chair for his office, because I would like to do that. So the boss said, let me take the best material and do it, and we'll give it to him. So I sit in two Saturdays and one Sunday, I make that beautiful chair, and I take it to the council in his office, and I represent it. So he asked me what he can do for me, and I said to him, my dream someday is to and to go to America. So he did not say nothing much. He took me that night going for a dinner, and he insisted to me what I can do, and I insisted to him, that's my dream. So 3 days later, he told me if I have a passport there to bring it to him. So take it to him. He took me inside an office. The doctor come and examine me. And he says to me, anytime you want to go, I send you to Canada, Montreal, Canada. And there is my friend, the American embassy in Montreal, Canada. And I said to him, what, in Canada or in America? He says to me, hold on. So, and he says to me, my friend there will send you to America, the American ambassador. So, 2 weeks later, he buy all my tickets, go to Amsterdam. He put me to the boat and he sent me to Canada, to Montreal, Canada. So at the same time, he write me a letter, but I have to present it to the American ambassador of Russia in Montreal. And the time I come to Montreal, I go to the American embassy, but I cannot get in because I don't know any English besides German, but I was speaking German. And I got the letter, and finally, the third day, I was going every day, and the third day, they let me go in after I saw the letter, but I cannot give it to them because he told me to give it to him in person. So they call on telephone, and he was not there. I was going to be there. They let me in, and he gave me another letter, and he told me, okay, I got your job here in Montreal. In Lacine, Montreal is behind from Montreal. I don't know if any of you know Montreal. And 6 months later, you're going to come back to me and I will send you to America. That's what happened. 6 months later, I have the letter for him and I go to him and he sent me to America. So he asked me, where do you want to go to the America? And I say, well, where is the most jobs? So I can find a very easy job. He says to me, well, Michigan is right now booming because of the car we're building right here. And I asked, where about in Michigan? He says to me, Detroit. And I say, is that the capital? And he says to me, no, it's Lansing. Michigan is the capital. So I say, I want to go to the capital. Because I was thinking the capital is bigger what Detroit is. So mm-hmm. he sent me to Lansing, Michigan. So I come right here. And I start to find some Greek people who I can speak because I was not speaking any English at all. I don't know even the yes or the means. So I go to a Greek restaurant that was right across from Osmobile. The main plane. There was a Ringium Cafe. I don't know if any of you know. So I started working there pretty much every day, cleaning tables, washing dishes. And as soon as I get a little bit free time with my dictionary, I write down, I need a job.
Do you want to stop?
So I open up my dictionary and I write it down on a piece of paper and it says, I need a job. And I go right across from Ringium Cafe. That was the office for the dual the hiring. And I go pretty much every day and I show the piece of paper to the window. And they're talking there, but I will not know what they're talking about. So 1 week later, because I was going every day there asking for a job, with no speaking any English, nothing. So then one guy coming out and waving me, he says to me, come with me. So I get to his car and he takes me right to the front of Fisher Bar. And Fisher Bar was a Greek fellow was working there. And apparently I see him and they said to me, tomorrow, 8 o'clock, we have a job. And they put me, and I was working on body wire. Every other car, I was jumping in and put the body wires down on the car. And every day sitting there, reading, try to learn some English. I have a Mexican guy, for he was very, very good guy, tried to teach me English. And apparently, he hanged himself. And I was the first one with my foreman see him hanging in his barn.
Do you remember approximately what year this was, Gus?
1963, there was. But I don't remember what point exactly. And the last name, I don't remember the last name, but it was the first name was Jazz. And apparently he go home and find his wife with somebody else. He was sick. And then the next day he write a letter. He told me, tomorrow you open up the letter, and tomorrow he don't show up. And inside of the letter, I give it to my foreman, we read it, he can end his life. And he told us on the letter who it is. So the foreman and I, because I was visiting in Sanfield, Michigan, he lives way out in the far. And I would know where his house was because he invited me to his house for a few times. And we'll go there and we'll find him hanging from the neck. And that's what they have. But then I was working in the fish body. I was very extremely happy because I was having the first check was $58, and I thought that was a lot of money. Even I have 44 hours, and there was a lot of money at that time for me, and I can buy some clothes for me because I was not having too many with me. And so I started working on fish body there, and I see around, and I saw things for a lot of people was doing there with the screwdriver, for the right to do with the screwdrivers, to put screws and all those things. And in Germany, to the factory where I was working, there was the Mercedes factory in the beginning. I saw how they was doing that. So after I was finishing my job, I stayed there, tried to tell them how to do it. And there was like 20 people, 9 people on this side, 10 people on this side, 10 people on the other side was doing that with the screws. And I told them how to do it. And they gave me the machine, and all of a sudden, they make the machine a lot better what I was trying to do, and they put it to work. And then the one person can do on one side and one person on the other side. And they issued me $10,000. Many fact, they asked me if I wanted $10,000 or a 2 pennies each car going by as long as Fishy Body or GM is there. But the money to me was more interest than anything else.
So that was kind of their suggestion program at that time.
I don't know the color, but that's the way. And then the union was getting very upset at that time. And they went out, they have a little Volkswagen, they bust my car, they bust my wheels, and I don't have a car. But so GM was sending a crew there and fixing my car, they take my car and they fix it again. And a couple of weeks later, they told me if I see anything else. So they take me out to the line and going around to see what else I can see, where they can do things. So, and I go and try to tell them more things. And the union, that time, the president there and a couple of others, I remember there was, I think, George, there was the president. But I don't remember the last name. And there was a couple of other friends. Sauerbeck was the one where he busted the car. And they were doing those things. So I told my foreman, I cannot live without busting my car every other week. So I'm going to quit. And he says to me, no, we're going to send you to the community college so you start learn a little bit more English, and we're going to take you, send you to Detroit, to the other factories, nobody knows you. And then 2 days later, in my door, in the house where I was living, they write with the red letters, you're going to be dead if you don't get away from GM. And that's the time I quit, and I go right across to Harris Place, and he hired me, and I was working there as bartender for 18 and a half years. And also, I was doing construction work outside of Harris Place, doing buy some used houses, and Remile and fix them a salad and becoming partners with Arthur Vanaitis from Harry's Place. And the most of the time I was working outside, and he was working to the bar, and at night I go helping back to the bar. So actually, my time was constantly occupied with doing things. Then there was time for me to move on because my family was getting growing up, so I have to do something different because there was not enough for me. Was a bartender to work there, and I would find a license. A friend of mine from up from the Mackinac Island, there was the license there, and that license was a resort license because there was for the Grand Hotel there to open a casino. That was 25 years ago. And 25 years ago, my friend there was supposed to be the big guy there to open the casino. He have a problem with his wife. And also, at the same time, in Mackinac Island, to the Grand Hotel, there were 6 people die from a fire. I don't know any of you if you recall that. And the fire department is right across, and the time for them to go there, so they stop the license. They cannot open casino because of the no fire department, no enough police in the Mackinac Island to protect, so they stop to open up the casino. So the guy says to me, "You want the license?" And I said, "Yes, I'll take it." And I have this place right here, already was buying this place right here. And I bring the license from them here. It's a resort license, can go any place to the state of Michigan. And I'm right here now for 25 years.
So approximately what year did you open Gus's Bar?
1982, I'm sorry.
82.
1982. February 20th.
Did you pick this location because of the plant being right across the street?
Yes, because I know the people. I served them for 18 years. I was extremely happy with all the customers that was coming to Harry's Place. And I come right here because I thought this was the place to make a living. With my education, I was wanted to work to make a living. And I did, coming right here, fix the place myself, the whole place. And they used to be back right here. And I remove it. And coming, they give me the license and approve it. And I'm still here today.
Did you maintain any of your friendships from working in the plant present day?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. The old people, yes, yes. Everybody. Very friendly, very, very comfortable, very happy with them. Yes.
And pause, please. Gus, could you tell us a little bit about the business and the GM employees that came in here? How did you feel about them?
I feel they were excellent customers. I don't have any problem with anybody. I try to avoid it, to let them get too drunk, try to help them to go back to work. And I was have the best customers, for I can say, in the state of Michigan, because I was so happy with them. And they treat me like I was their father. And everybody would know I was working there also, to most of the employees. And they was coming. I was extremely happy. There's no any doubts in my mind of any of the people that was back to me.
And now that the plant's closed, how do you feel about the plant closing?
I feel bad.
Has it had any impact on your business?
Tremendous. I'm almost 75% down. maybe more. But now I start picking up a little bit from the neighborhoods, and I start building a little bit back up now. And still, the fishing body employees, they're coming in and they see me. A lot of those guys, and they're very happy with me, and I'm happy because they can serve themselves and like to there in their own house. And this is what makes me feel very, very good. Also, my wife, they like them so much, we're very, very happy. And I cannot leave these people to go back to my country, because I was ready to move back to my country, but I feel like obligated to these guys, and I'm still stay here. Just to try to be to the, my last days.
Did any of your immediate family work in the plant?
My brother-in-law. He was here 30 years there.
Oh, wow.
Jim Peppers. You want to know his name? It's Jim Peppers.
Does anybody else in the team have questions for Gus?
This is Earl Nicholson. Yeah, I've got a few. How do you feel about buying American?
How did I feel about
buying American products?
All my years, I buy almost 13 cars from GM. What else I can do? I don't buy anything else. But the first car, when I come to this country, there was a little Volkswagen that was used, and I paid $250 just to get back and forth. But then from there on, my cars is all Oldsmobile cars.
Was there ever a project that your business was involved in where a GM employee offered to help?
To the town I was building right here? Yes. There was quite a few of them that come in and help me. And special, a lady was working there, and she, as soon as she finished her work, she come right here, and she passed away, and we used to call her Mama Goose. Maybe one of you know.
Mama Goose. Nope, I don't think I've heard of her.
Lynn Cole.
Lynn Cole?
Cole. Her husband was working there also, but they get divorced, and she had a cancer, passed away, and she was coming every single day right here and helped me, holding to build the bar right there, holding the formica so I can cut it and build everything. She was coming right here just as long as the end chair down there will be hers if she's coming over for a drink. That's her chair.
So that chair was always reserved for...
Yes. Her. Nobody can sit there. Everybody will know.
So, Gus, Earl Nicholson again, did any GM employees ever pull any pranks on you?
No.
No?
I don't hear any.
No jokes, no pranks?
Jokes were always so joking, but nothing for to harm me or to...
To make fun of you.
To make fun of me.
Okay. What was your reaction to all of the name changes over across the street? Now, for me personally, I've always considered Fishing Body, Fishing Body.
This is, and I still today, I cannot say it's different. I call it Fishing Body. That's up to me. Because that was my first job. I was a Fishing Body, and that's where I call it even today, Fishing Body.
So I think we're probably coming up on close here. So I'm going to ask you, what would be your happiest moment, and what would be your saddest moment?
Right here, the happiest was the time I opened up when I was serving all the employees from GM, and the sadness was the time I see the place closed.
Now you're probably coming up on retirement at the ripe old age of
70.
And are you
going? March 3rd, I'll be 70.
Congratulations to you, sir. Do you plan on staying here in America, or do you plan on returning home? Or?
Well, I have one son here in America, and I have one in Greece. The one was, he was born here, and he moved back to Greece because he liked it so much there to be with his cousins, and he moved back. Now I have two grandsons there, and I have one boy here in Detroit. He's an architect in Detroit. And so I'm splitting back and forth, and I will continue to do that. I will go visit my other son, and I'll come back to the time my time come over.
Gary, Judy, Gus, you had mentioned to me the other day that you have another business over in Greece. Could you tell us what that business is?
The business there is olive trees.
And,
I have some olive trees. I have some orange trees where the orange is ready to die, and I'm going to sell it as property for building on apartments. Yes, but the olive trees is the ones for to get some income, and that's the income what I was getting there, because I cannot bring the money here. I build my house there. If you're interested to see my house, I can show it.
So you have a home in Greece and here in
yes.
Lansing area also?
Yes.
Very beautiful home in yes. Greece from what I've heard. I've heard it's just gorgeous.
Yes, it is.
That's fantastic, Gus. I think we appreciate it, the opportunity.
Yes, thank you so much for sharing your memories.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Gus.
Thank you. All right.